Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you could join us once again this week as we get into the Word of God through our recorded session that was recorded at Faith and Victory Church. Now, this will hopefully conclude, you know, if I can work the timing in right, conclude this particular message in this netcast. So let's go right into it right now.
Let's get back to it here. Verse, where'd we leave off? Let's look at verse 21. He said to them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which should not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Meaning he has revelation knowledge for us, and he will reveal it from his word. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Then verse 24 says, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear, for with the measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So in other words, the measure with which I hear the word is the measure by which my faith will grow. Now that's not talking about amount of word you listen to specifically. It's talking about you hear the word taught, you receive the word taught, you meditate on it, you build it into your spirit, and that type of hearing and receiving the teaching, will lead to success in this area. Revelation knowledge, manifestation of that revelation knowledge. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. But notice what he says, take heed what you hear. I want to talk about that what you hear. There's two scriptures we want to look at. Hold your place there at Mark 4, because we're going to come back to it. But then go over to Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Same study here, same teaching concerning the sower sows the word, but from Luke's perspective. And what does he say here? Jesus said while he was teaching this in Luke 8:18, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. So one time here, Jesus made the statement, take heed what you hear. Another time in the same teaching, Luke heard him say, take heed how you hear. So there's two points about hearing we need to latch on to. Take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear. Now what's the difference? The difference is the circumstance of the hearing. Okay? Another Selah moment. We need to stop and think about that. The difference is the circumstance of the hearing. Take heed what you hear is a decision you make about what it is you are listening to. Okay? That's a decision you make based on your preference, your situation, your right to listen to whatever you want to listen to. You're not being forced to listen to anything in particular. You just make a decision, I'm going to listen to this, whatever it is. Maybe it's a message. Maybe it's a particular teacher. Maybe it's a TV program. Maybe it's a song. Whatever it is, you decide you're going to listen to it. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. But then he says, take heed how you hear. The how you hear is a circumstance where you're out there, maybe at work, and you're listening to a conversation, and they start talking about stuff, and you think, oh my goodness, this is so unscriptural. But you can't really just run away. You're kind of stuck there, and you're listening to it, but you can take heed how you hear it. You don't have to be there like that little bird with his mouth open and just eat it all up and take whatever they're saying. You can listen to it with an ear of how does this line up with the Word of God? I listen to, you know, people at work, and they're talking about, I don't like this, I don't like that, and this guy's this, and that guy's that, and they say all these things, terrible things sometimes, and I'll find myself thinking, what's the Word have to say about this situation? What's the Bible say that they should be thinking and saying and doing? How could they walk in love concerning this situation? In other words, I take heed how I filter it. Maybe I'm hearing the words, but I don't have to just latch onto it and agree. Woe is me. I'll give you a good example. And people, pastor even likes to pick on me when I'm sitting out there, he's preaching, and he'll say, yeah, Dr. Bill, I love you. That confession detector. Back in the day, I was one of those that was one of those confession alarms. Somebody, you know, would say something, I'd say, that's your confession, and I believe every word of it. I was one of those guys. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, I was really aware of my words. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I was overzealous. But at the same time, now, and I don't do that these days for people. I don't blow them out of the water. Unless they have asked me to help them guard their confession. If we have some kind of agreement that, listen, if I say something that's unscriptural, I want you to stop me and tell me. Because I want to catch that. I want to train myself not to speak contrary to the Word of God. Then I've got carte blanche, and my confession detector is going to beep real loud. Okay? So, I was at one time a confession beeper. And that's what Pastor likes to pick on me about. But the thing about it is, take heed how you hear. When you hear somebody, you don't have to just side in. Now, here's a good example. This is one of my pet peeves. Something about us here in the South, I don't know what it is. Everybody's got the habit of just saying, without thinking about it, I absolutely can guarantee you they do not mean to say these words. It just comes out of their mouth. Take care! Okay? So I may be going through McDonald's, and I may be getting myself a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit and a cup of coffee, and I'll pick it up from the window, and I'll start to drive off, and they'll say, take care! And I always say, no, thank you. Now, they don't even know what I'm talking about. They have no idea what I'm saying or what I'm doing. And they probably look at me like, boy, he's a nut. Yeah, but I'm a happy nut, praise the Lord. They're trying to get me to take care. The Bible said, do not take or receive care or anxiety. That worry and care and anxiety is not of God, and I should not be receiving it. Just like I don't take offense, I don't want to take care. Okay? So when they tell me specifically, on purpose, out of their own mouth, directed at me, take care, I'll say no thank you. And as a matter of fact, typically what I'll do, under my breath, I'm not trying to fuss at them, I'm not trying to embarrass them, but I'll say to myself under my breath, I don't take or receive care, thank you, in Jesus' name. I'm guarding myself from taking care. Because I am not to take care. Oh, Dr. Bill, that's just silly. No, it's not. I'm training myself to be aware of what I'm hearing. I'm taking heed how I hear. I'm not going to let them try to push care off on me. I'm not going to let them try to push prejudice off on me. I'm not going to let them try to push hatefulness off on me. People can say things. It'll go into your hearing. And whatever goes into your hearing goes down into your heart, and it gets down in there in abundance, and then finally comes out of your mouth, and before too long, you're taking care. Take care. You find yourself saying that. Or you'll find yourself saying something like, oh, that just liked to kill me. Well, I don't want to die. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, so I'm not going to go around saying it liked to kill me. I don't sing songs that have death in them. I just don't. Christian songs that have death in them. Let me give you just a couple here. I did a little research today. I looked at a list online of contemporary Christian songs. Now I listen to contemporary Christian music. I don't know about everybody else. I'm not one of these Southern Gospel kind of guys. You know what I'm saying? And I have a very eclectic style of music that I listen to. I listen to everything from rock, Christian rock, like Petra, which admittedly is 1980s. Okay, I'm dating myself a bit. But, you know, I listen to Petra. But I also listen to Kirk Franklin. Okay? I particularly like Stomp. I don't know what it is about Stomp, but I like that. Okay? Andre Crouch, you know? All kinds of different things that I listen to. So I go kind of from jazz to rock to folk, you know, a little bit of everything. But I always listen to the lyrics because I'm going to be saying those lyrics. David Ingalls, bless his heart, had a song. I don't sing those songs anymore, like Born to Lose and Of the Life Before. He didn't sing those kind of songs anymore. Now, he used to, because he used to be one of these guys that played a piano in a bar. And he was singing Born to Lose. Get people crying in their beer. So that's why he wrote that song. I don't sing those songs anymore, like Born to Lose and Of the Life Before. So I don't sing those songs either. So this song is one that was supposed to be on the contemporary Christian music charts. It's supposed to be really high up on the list. It's by a guy named Josh Wilson. I don't know who that is. And it's called Carry Me. Okay, here's the lyrics. I try to catch my breath. It hasn't happened yet. I'm wide awake in the middle of the night, scared to death. So I prayed to God, would you make this stop? Father, please hold on to me. You're all I've got. Carry me now from my sinking sand to your solid ground. Well, that's good. He's going to solid ground, but he's confessing seeking sand. The only way I'm ever going to make it out is if you carry me. Okay, I'll buy that. But that's not what he's saying as his confession. His confession is, I'm wide awake in the night, scared to death. Now, he ends up on a good note, carry me, Lord, carry me, carry me. Okay, fine, that's good. But I don't want to be confessing that. I'm glad that he relies on the Lord, don't get me wrong. But I'm paying attention to what I'm saying out of my mouth. Okay, here's another one. You are, I am, by Mercy Me. Now, I like Mercy Me pretty well, but listen to the lyrics. I've been the one to shake with fear and wonder if you're even here. I've been the one to doubt your love, and I've told myself you're not enough. Contemporary Christian hit song. Now, he redeems this a little later in the song, because he's basically what he's doing. He's setting himself up as being, woe is me, poor old me, but you're out there, God, and that's a good thing. But what is he confessing? What's he saying? I've been the one to shake with fear. Well, fear is the reciprocal of faith. It's the opposite of faith. I don't want to be involved with fear at all. I reject fear. I wonder if you're even here. God is always present. He will never leave us or forsake us. I've even been one to doubt your love. Are you kidding? God is love. I've told myself you're not enough. He's all there is, guys. Okay, but we keep reading, we keep going. I've been the one to try and say I'll overcome by my own strength. I've been the one to fall apart and start to question who you are. Then he starts getting positive. You're the one that conquers giants. You're the one that calls out kings. You shut the mouth of lions and tell the dead to breathe. You're the one that walks through fire and take the orphan's hand. You're the one Messiah. You are, I am. Well, praise the Lord. But before he got to that, he's confessing how sorry he is. Now, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you how far I take this. And this some people are going to get mad at me. People on the internet are going to fuss at me. I don't care. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I used to be a wretch. But I got saved. I ain't a wretch anymore. So I don't sing that part of the song. Now, I love Amazing Grace, and I sing the song, but I make a word substitution. Who saved a man like me? simple substitution that allows me to sing the song and not get anybody bent out of shape with me without making a confession of that I'm a wretch. Yeah, but Dr. Bill, you were a wretch before you got born again. Yes, you're right, but I'm born again now. And I sing that song now. So right now, it would be improper for me to say I'm a wretch because I'd be saying that what Jesus did for me in my life is not enough to unwretchify me. It's not a word, but you got it. Now, on the other hand, David Ingalls has a song, I Am the Righteousness of God in Christ. Now, let's listen to these lyrics that I'm saying out of my mouth. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in Him. I can now approach the presence of God with no condemnation of sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am now complete in Him. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. On me, He will not impute sin. Now, that's a confession I can make and be 100% scriptural about it. And now, Dr. Bill, you're getting all religious on us. No, I'm serious about my words. So I pay attention to what I sing and what I say. You know, there's a lot of songs. I love the songs and I love the tune and the meter and everything, but the lyrics, I just can't sing. And I'll find myself going, I just can't say it because I'm not going to let it come out of my mouth. I've been crucified with Christ, crucified, buried with Him. We are one with Him in righteousness after we became one in sin. He became as we were, that we might be as He is now. That's scriptural. He became one with us in death. We became one in life with Him. I'm confessing that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. So I'd much rather sing that song. Here's one for you by Petra. I was talking about how I like Petra. Petra's got a song called Creed. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son. I believe in the virgin birth. Glory to God. I believe in the man of sorrows bruised for iniquities. I believe in the Lamb who was crucified and hung between two thieves. I believe in the resurrection on the third and glorious day. I believe in the empty tomb and the stone that the angel rolled away. He descended and set the captives free. Went into hell, set the captives free. And now He sits at God's right hand and prepares a place for me. This is my creed, the witness I have heard, the faith that has endured. This truth is assured. Through the darkest ages past, though persecuted, it will last, and I will hold steadfast to this creed. Amen. Now I can get behind that. I believe He sent His Spirit to comfort and to reveal, to lead us into truth and light, to baptize and to seal. I believe that He will come back the way He went away and receive us all into Himself, but no man knows the day. Now that's scriptural. I believe He's the judge of all men, small and great. The resurrected souls of men receive from Him their fate, some to death and some to life and some to their reward, some to sing eternal praise forever to our Lord. Amen. I mean, there's just nothing wrong with that. And so I can sing that and I can rock out, hallelujah, with that song. And do it freely and be excited and not even have to worry about my confession. Not that I worry. But you see what I mean. We need to pay attention. Take heed what we hear. Take heed how we hear. And that leads to us taking heed what we say. Because what you say, see, this is something that David Ingalls talks about, and the reason he says I don't sing those songs anymore, is what I am saying out of my mouth when I'm singing is a confession of my faith. Songs, words that are in songs, come from your spirit. That's why, see, Satan was the musician in heaven. That's why he has perverted music to his own ends. Now, that doesn't mean all music, because there's some great music out there, and there's some great words and lyrics out there. But he will take music and get that music to go right into your heart, get in your heart in abundance, and come out of your mouth, and you'll be saying things that if you would listen to yourself, you would just wonder, how in the world can I be confessing this? I had to eliminate a whole lot of music from my repertoire when I was growing up, right before I went to college, as a matter of fact. I got real serious about it, and I had, you're not going to believe this, I had the entire collection of Alice Cooper records. I was a huge Alice Cooper fan, okay? Now, praise the Lord, Alice Cooper got saved. Amen. I'm certainly glad he did. But he sure wasn't when he was writing these songs. And he was singing about, you know, how his fans were his stars that worshiped him. And he, oh man, he the lyrics, but I tell you, the music and the orchestration, it just sucks you in. And before you know it, you're singing the Ballad of Dwight Frye about, I'm going crazy. And enjoying yourself while you're doing it. And I started paying attention to that, and I tell you what got my, this is what actually got my attention, is I'm driving down to this, I got an 8-track tape, this will date it. I got an 8-track tape, and I'm playing music. And I'd actually pulled the 8-track out, and I was driving down the road, and I just, night before this, I guess, I'd seen Hee Haw. And I was driving my car and singing it full voice, gloom, despair, and agony on me. And I'd just go on, and I'd go on, and I'd go on, and I'd sing that. And the Lord said, stop it! I said, yes, sir. He said, what are you singing? I thought it was just a silly song. He said, what are the words gloom, despair, agony on you? Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I would have no luck at all. He said, is that really what you want? I said, no. Then why are you saying it? But Lord, I don't mean it that way. Yeah, but you're saying it. And if you're saying it, it's getting down in your heart, and it's getting down in your abundance, and it's coming out your mouth, and you're glooming and despairing all the way down this highway. Well, then I got to looking at that 8-track. I said, I can't sing that either, can I? He said, not if you want to grow spiritually. Not if you want to develop in the areas that I want you to develop in. And I went, okay. Well, at the time, there wasn't the kind of contemporary Christian music we have today. And so I went looking. And I tried to find some. And I found this 8-track by this group called Free Spirit that was fluffy. It was just the other side of Southern Gospel. A little bit more folkish sounding. And I plugged it in and listened to it and went, oh, Lord, I can't listen to this. It's like elevator music. And so he said, well, it's better what you were listening to. So I play that. But then I found Phil Keaggy. And I found other contemporary Christian artists. And Petra, finally, in the 80s. Late 70s, early 80s. And praise the Lord, I found some stuff I could listen to. Then Brother Copeland started singing about, you know, Covenant Man and Cannot Be Defeated and I Will Not Quit. Redeemed by the Blood of Jesus. I've been loose from Satan's pit. Praise the Lord, all of that. So I started singing those songs. Now again, it's not my style, but I would sing them. David Ingalls, got a hold of him, started singing that. He and I are in the same range vocally. And so I had a lot of fun with David Ingalls. And just, you know, changed what I listened to. Changed what I was singing. I was looking today online. I've got 106 albums now of contemporary Christian music that are at least acceptable. There's a few that are, and Belinda will tell you exactly which ones. Because she likes to tell me, wow, do you listen to that? I'm like, sorry. So I'm still working on it. But for the most part, matter of fact, just today, I got an album by Kenneth Copeland that actually he came out with in 2002 that I didn't know about. It's called The God of Abundance. I had not heard that album. And so I was listening to that day, and whoo, this is good stuff. So, you know, praise the Lord. I'm still looking, but I'm getting some good things out there to listen to. But the point is, we are, spiritually speaking, what we hear. And you have a choice to take heed what you hear, but you also have a choice to take heed how you hear. So if I hear something that's unscriptural, I'll just remind myself, well, the Word of God says, the Word of God says, the Word of God says. And then I can at least filter the effect of it. Now, it still doesn't mean I want to expose myself to that. That's only if I can't avoid it. But the what you hear, I can make those choices. Amen? So, what I want you to take away from this tonight is some homework. Go home and look at your albums and your songs and your magazines and your programs and whatever it is you listen to consistently and try to make some decisions as to whether they're helping you or hurting you. Because I think most of you are like me. You want to develop spiritually. You want to grow spiritually. You want to be, you know, God's man or woman of faith and power. You know, not paste and flour, but faith and power. So in order to do that, you're going to have to pay attention to what you're listening to, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Notice that's an ongoing, continual, positive, present tense form. Not having heard the word, even though it's the spoken word, even though it's the rhema word, it's not the having heard, it's the hearing and hearing and hearing. Ongoing, progressive, present tense. That's what we need to be surrounding ourselves with, is the Word of God. That's why things like Word of Faith Radio, Internet Radio, I listen to that at work, and I'm listening to people teach me the Word all day long through Word of Faith Radio. And Brother Copeland's Roku channel, and Brother Hagen's Rhema Roku channel, and our Roku channel, speakfaith.tv, where we have all these messages that we have, and pastor's messages out there on the Roku. All of those things are opportunities to surround ourselves with the hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing that will benefit us and help us to grow. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this tonight? I had fun. I don't know about you, but I had fun.
Well, praise the Lord. I hope you enjoyed that message on the importance of hearing. We've got to hear the Word of God on a consistent, regular basis in order to grow and develop spiritually. And that's really critically important, particularly in these last days when we're surrounded by so much stuff that's going on in the spiritual realm around us and in the world around us. All right. So I'd love for you to write us right here at Word of Faith Ministries. Word of Faith Ministries, 5219. That's our P.O. Box. P.O. Box 5219, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. As always, if you want to get in touch with me just a little quicker, you can send me an email. Our email address is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at wfm.org. WFM.org is our website, and we've been doing some tweaking and so forth of that website recently. We're going to have some new features added to it very soon. I want to encourage you to go to our website, www.wfm.org, as it says here on the screen. So check that out. Also, of course, Word of Faith Radio, WOFR.org, and we're on Monday through Friday at 11:30, right after Kenneth Copeland. That's 11:30 Eastern Time. And then, of course, the audio from this particular netcast is on WFR.org on Sunday mornings at 9:30, also after Kenneth Copeland's program. And, of course, that is also Eastern Time. So I encourage you to check that out. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.